अथाष्टात्रिंशः सर्गः कदाचिदप्यहम् वीर्यात् पर्यटन् पृथिवीमिमा बलम् नागसहस्रस्य धारयन् पर्वतोपमः नीलजीमूदसङ्काशस्तप्तकाञ्चनकुण्डलः भयम् लोकस्य जनयन् किरीटी परिघायुधः व्यचरम् दण्डकारण्यमृषिमांसानि भक्षयन् विश्वामित्रोऽथ धर्मात्मा मद्वित्रस्तो महामुनिः स्वयम् गत्वा दशरथम् नरेन्द्रमिदमब्रवीत् अयम् रक्षतु माम् रामः पर्वकाले समाहितः मारीचान्मे भयम् घोरम् समुत्पन्नम् नरेश्वर इत्येवमुक्तो धर्मात्मा राजा दशरथस्तदा प्रत्युवाच महाभागम् विश्वामित्रम् महामुनिम् ऊनद्वादशवर्षोऽयमकृतास्त्रश्च राघवः कामम् तु मम तत्सैन्यम् मया सह गमिष्यति बलेन चतुरङ्गेण स्वयमेत्य निशाचरम् वधिष्यामि मुनिश्रेष्ठशत्रुम् तव यथेप्सितम् एवमुक्तः स तु मुनीराजानमिदमब्रवीत् रामान्नान्यद्बलम् लोके पर्याप्तम् तस्य रक्षसः देवतानामपि भवान् समरेष्वभिपालकः आसीत्तव कृतम् कर्म त्रिलोकविदितम् नृप काममस्ति महत्सैन्यम् तिष्ठत्विह परन्तप बालोऽप्येष महातेजः समर्थस्तस्य निग्रहे गमिष्ये राममादाय स्वस्ति तेऽस्तु परन्तप इत्येवमुक्त्वा समुनिस्तमादाय नृपात्मजम् जगामपरमप्रीतो विश्वामित्रस्वमाश्रमम् तम् तथा दण्डकारण्ये यज्ञमुद्दिश्य दीक्षितम् बभूवोपस्थितो रामश्चित्रम् विस्फारयम् धनुः अजातव्यञ्जनः श्रीमान् बालश्यामः शुभे क्षणः एकवस्त्रधरो धन्वी शिखी कनकमालया शोभयम् दण्डकारण्यम् दीप्तेन स्वेन तेजसा अदृश्यत तदा रामो बालचन्द्र इवोदितः ततोऽहम् मेघसङ्काशस्तप्तकाञ्चनकुण्डलः बलीदत्तवरो दर्पादाजगामाश्रमान्तरम् तेन दृष्टः प्रविष्टोऽहम् सहसैवोद्यतायुधः माम् तु दृष्ट्वा धनुःसज्यमसम्भ्रान्तश्चकारः अवजानन्नहम् मोहाद्बालोऽयमिति राघवम् विश्वामित्रस्य ताम् वेदिमभ्यधावम् कृतत्वरः तेन मुक्तस्ततो बाणश्चितः शत्रुनिबर्हणः तेनाहम् ताडितः क्षिप्तः समुद्रे शतयोजने नेच्छता तात माम् हन्तुम् तदा वीरेण रक्षितः रामस्य शरवेगेण निरस्तो भ्रान्तचेतनः पातितोऽहम् तदा तेन गम्भीरे सागराम्भसि प्राप्य सञ्ज्ञाम् चिरात्तात लङ्काम् प्रतिगतः पुरीम् एवमस्मि तदा मुक्तः सहायास्ते निपातिताः अकृतास्त्रेण रामेण बालेनाक्लिष्टकर्मणा तन्मया वार्यमाणस्तु यदि रामेण विग्रहम् करिष्यस्यापदम् घोराम् क्षिप्रम् प्राप्य न शिष्यसि क्रीडारतिविधिज्ञानाम् समाजोत्सवदर्शिना रक्षसाम् चैव सन्तापमनर्थम् चाहरिष्यसि हर्म्यप्रासादसम्बाधाम् नानारत्र विभूषिताम् द्रक्ष्यसि त्वम् पुरीम् लङ्काम् विनष्टाम् मैथिलीकृते अकुर्वन्तोऽपि पापानि शुचयः पापसंश्रयात् परपापैर्विनश्यन्ति मत्स्या नागह्रदे यथा दिव्यचन्दनदिग्धाङ्गान् दिव्याभरणभूषितान् द्रक्ष्यस्य विहतान् भूमौ तव दोषात् तु राक्षसान् हृतदारान् सदारांश्च दश विद्रवतो दिशः हतशेषान् शरणान् द्रक्ष्यसि त्वम् निशाचरान् शरजालपरिक्षिप्तामग्निज्वालासमावृताम् पदग्धभवनाम् लङ्काम् द्रक्ष्यसि त्वमसंशयम् परदाराभिमर्शात् तु नान्यत् पापतरम् महत् प्रमदानाम् सहस्राणि तव राजम् परिग्रहे भवस्वदारनिरतः स्वकुलम् रक्ष राक्षसान् मानं वृद्धिं च राज्यं च जीवितं चेष्टमात्मनः कलत्राणि च सौम्यानि मित्रवर्गं तथैव च यदीच्छसि चिरं भोक्तुं मा कृथा रामविप्रियम् निवार्यमाणः सुहृदा मया भृशं प्रसह्यसीतां यदि धर्षयिष्यसि गमिष्यसि क्षीणबलः स बान्धवोऽयमक्षयं रामशरास्तजीवितः इत्यार्षे श्रीमद्रामायणे वाल्मीकीये आदिकाव्ये अरण्यकाण्डे अष्टात्रिंशः सर्गः।
Aranyakanda, Canto 38. Narrating his own experience of Sri Rama's prowess, Maricha asks Ravana not to provoke Sri Rama. Once, while I was ranging this earth through pride of valor, looking like a mountain and possessing the might of 1,000 elephants and the hue of a dark blue cloud, adorned with earrings of refined gold, with a diadem on my head and an iron club in my hand, I roamed about in the Dandaka forest, eating the flesh of rishis, seers of Vedic mantras, and causing terror in the hearts of men. Personally approaching Dasharatha, the great sage Vishwamitra, whose mind was set on righteousness and who was greatly afraid of me, spoke to the king as follows. Let this Rama protect me at the time of a sacrifice, remaining vigilant all the time. A terrible calamity has arisen before me through Maricha, O ruler of men. Solicited in the above words, on that occasion, King Dasharatha, whose mind was set on piety, replied as follows to the eminent and highly blessed sage Vishwamitra. This scion of Raghu is less than 12 years of age and has not yet practiced archery. My distinguished army will no doubt gladly go with you, personally reaching with my army, consisting of four limbs, elephants, cavalry, chariots and foot soldiers. I shall make short work of your enemy, the Night Stalker, as desired by you, O jewel among ascetics. Reassured in these words, the aforesaid sage, for his part, replied to the king as follows. No power in the world other than Sri Rama is adequate to meet that ogre, even though you have been the protector, even of gods on the fields of battle. The feat accomplished by you is known through all the three worlds, O protector of men. Even though there is a great army with you, let it remain here, O scorcher of your enemy. Though still a boy, Sri Rama is endowed with great energy and is capable of subduing the ogre. I shall, therefore, depart, taking him with me. May all be well with you, O tormentor of foes. Saying so, and taking the aforesaid prince with him, Vishwamitra returned to his own hermitage, supremely gratified. Twanging his wonderful bow, Sri Rama stood by the side of the sage, consecrated for a sacrifice in the Dandaka forest as prearranged. Illumining the Dandaka forest with his refulgent splendor, the glorious Rama, who was still a boy, in whom the marks of manhood, in the shape of mustaches, etc., had not yet appeared, dark brown of complexion, with charming eyes and a single cloth wrapped about his loins, as a token of celibacy, wielding a bow and wearing a tuft of hair on the crown of his head and adorned with a string of gold, looked at that time like the new moon just risen. At that time, I, who looked like a cloud and was adorned with earrings of refined gold, full of might and puffed up with arrogance, a boon having been conferred on me by Brahma, reached the heart of the hermitage. The moment I entered the hermitage, I was espied by him. Having suddenly lifted up his weapon on seeing me, he strung his bow, calmly indeed. Disregarding Rama, a scion of Raghu, through ignorance, thinking that he was a mere boy, I rushed with speed towards the well-known altar occupied by Vishwamitra. By him was discharged at that time a sharp arrow capable of destroying the enemy. Struck by it, I was cast into the sea, which was 100 yojanas, 800 miles long. Spared on that occasion by the hero who did not want to kill me, O dear one, and flung by the impetus of Rama's arrow at that moment, I was hurled by him into the deep waters, rendered unconscious. Regaining consciousness after a long time, I proceeded towards the city of Lanka, O dear one. In this way, I was let go at that time, while my well-known companions were slain by the child Rama of unwearied action, who had not yet practiced archery. If, therefore, you enter into hostilities with Rama, though being dissuaded by me, you will soon meet with a terrible catastrophe and shall not survive. Nay, you will also bring suffering and doom to the ogres who know the technique of sports and enjoyment and are fond of enjoying social festivities. You will see the city of Lanka thick with mansions and palaces and adorned with jewels of every description laid waste on account of Sita, the princess of Mithila. Though not committing sins themselves, even innocent people perish because of others' sins through contact with the sinful, even like the fish living in a snake-infested lake. You will see ogres with their bodies besmeared with celestial sandal paste, as well as those adorned with heavenly ornaments, lying killed on the ground for your fault. You will also see night stalkers, other than those killed in action, fleeing without a protector in all directions, their wives having been borne away, and others with their wives. You will without doubt see Lanka screened with a network of arrows and surrounded with flames, with its houses consequently reduced to ashes. Surely there is no greater sin than consorting with another's wife. There are thousands of young ladies in your gynecium, O King. Remain devoted to your own wives and preserve your race as well as the ogres, as also your honor, prosperity, kingdom, and your dear life. Nay, if you wish to enjoy for long your charming wives, as also the company of your friends, do not give offense to Rama. If you forcibly take away Sita, in spite of being repeatedly dissuaded by me, your disinterested friend, you will reach the abode of death together with your kith and kin, your army being destroyed and your life being brought to an end by the arrows of Rama. Thus ends Canto 38 in the Aranyakanda of the glorious Ramayana of Valmiki, the work of a rishi and the oldest epic.